Just a simple little cure story. What it sounds like. It's one of a whole string of them we hear in the gospel. But Mark is never quite that simple. His literary craftsmanship shows up the more carefully you listen to what he's saying. I think there are three major contrasts here that really, if we think about them, lead us to the heart of the matter. First of all, Jesus is very, very human in this story. Less so, perhaps, in English. Again, they tend to smooth over the translation. I don't know why they do that. It takes away some of the power. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand. That's definitely an under-translation. The original was more like wrenched in the gut. It's like he really experiences this to the point of physical pain. And then at the end, warning him sternly, better would be growling at him, closer to the literal. He's really very human. He's deeply moved by this guy's sufferings. At the same time, he's very divine. Leprosy was considered about the worst thing that could happen to you. Not just because it was a very nasty disease for which there was no cure, but because it made you unclean. That meant you couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't go to synagogue. You couldn't stand up with your brothers and sisters and praise your God together. You couldn't even live with your own spouse and your own kids. You were in this little isolated hut outside the camp. Because it was so bad, it was considered a living death. And among the rabbis, the cure of leprosy was equated with raising someone from the dead, which is definitely a divine attribute. It can be delegated. We hear it in the Tanakh. You know? Elisha does it. But it's a divine attribute. So here we have this very human Jesus who was at the same time very divine. We also have a very pious Jewish Jesus. Go and show yourself to the priest, quoting him what we had for the first reading. And offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. He's meticulous in his adherence to the law. And yet at the same time, he radically breaks the law. He doesn't just say, I do will it, be clean. He reaches out and touches him, thus incurring uncleanness himself. Uncleanness was contagious. Holiness was not. If you touched the holy, you did not become holy. But if you touched the unclean, you became unclean. It's a way of preventing contagious disease. Set up the barriers. Well, that rule was enforced. And Jesus knew about it. And Jesus was a pious Torah observant Jew. But he broke the rule. He reached out and touched the guy when he didn't have to. Just in response to the being wrenched in the gut, I assume. It's a part of his unity with the man. He could not touch him, no matter what the law said. And the third contrast reaches beyond this passage, but it's hinted at. The guy goes off and tells everybody. And the report spread abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. Sounds like Jesus can't go into a town. And yet we know that that's not true. And we know that Mark knows that it's not true. The very next verse, which we'll read next week, says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Here, a couple days later, he's back in town. But here it says, he remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from every side. Think about it. Mark is throwing up a big red flashing sign. Think about it. This is not being told for its literal truth value, which it doesn't have. What is it saying? Jesus is now like the leper. The leper can't live inside the camp. He has to live outside in the desert by himself. And Jesus now is presented as outside, away from the camp, in deserted places, by himself. He has taken on not just the pain, but the penalty of the man's leprosy. All that's going on in the details. Now, what does that tell us? It makes it a very exemplary healing story, doesn't it? Healing is not just something that Jesus does. It's not a parlor trick. And it's not primarily a proof. In the old apologetics courses, I used to tell you that the miracles were done as the proof of Jesus' divinity. No. The miracles are done because Jesus is the outpouring of God's compassion. And he can't stop. He is wrenched in the gut by your suffering. He reaches out to touch you. He takes on your human condition. He becomes completely one with us, that we in turn may be healed, may be made clean, may be made completely one with him and with the one whom he calls Abba. This is the outpouring of the compassion of God in Jesus. We are, of course, invited to avail ourselves of that. Go to him. Kneel down. If you wish, you can make me clean. Accept the healing that you're offered. But then also, you're not just a suppliant. You're a disciple. Do the healing that you're offered. Be wrenched in the gut by somebody else's pain. Reach out and touch them when the law, social convention, all propriety tells you not to. Take on the consequences of their ill as Jesus has to dwell outside the camp. Experience it, accept it, rejoice in it, and then go speak what you have heard, go do what you have seen. Be the outpouring of the compassion of God. We have this morning an occasion for a great deal of compassion and a great deal of rejoicing. Jeannie Patterson, who has grown up in this house, is getting ready to go home. Her Alzheimer's is getting more and more advanced, and she won't be with us a lot longer. Her mom and her family want her to be celebrated here, so that we can celebrate not just her memory, which we will do in short order, but celebrate her. Celebrate her smile. Celebrate her joy. Celebrate her simplicity. Celebrate her holiness. There is nothing holier than watching her receive communion. She can't give you the definition of transubstantiation. But she looks at the host and mouths the word, God. If that isn't holiness, you haven't seen it. We rejoice in her. We rejoice in the love that her family has surrounded her with all these years. We rejoice in the gift that he or she is for us. And we anoint her with the oil of the Lord, that she may be made whole. We're not asking for a miracle. We're not asking for a cure. We asked for that once. It doesn't happen. What we are asking for is something much more important than that. A healing for her, that she may be brought home in her in the arms of her brother Jesus, to her father's house, that she may be healed, that she may be whole, and that we may have learned from her what the gospel means when it says, unless you accept the good news like a child, you shall not enter into the kingdom. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.